Blog Talk Radio.
Tornado, Tony Pennycal.
We are live on Blog Talk Radio for the first time in like months or years. I'm not sure. It's been a while.
It's, you had a year, Rich. It was like, I think it was around last spring that we got chopped off the live block. It was like last spring or fall, really. I mean, last spring or summer.
Now, instead of doing our show at 11 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio, now we do it at 8 o'clock. So that means we're live for limited to 2 hours here. I'm not even putting it on the podcast page tonight. It's the only version. It's an exclusive to Blog Talk Radio.
So, Rich, a question for you. So when you say it's exclusive and it's not going to be podcast, now is it going to be saved on Blog Talk Radio? So, like, say we had a great interview tonight like we always do. Are people going to be able to go into it later and listen to it?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. I'll make that feature available. That's how nice about it. What I'll do is I'll start the podcast when we start the interview. That way we have different content there. We got the show on Blog Talk Radio, and we have the interview portion of it on a podcast alone. We have two possible interviews, one definite. I just talked to the guy. Adam quit. He's not going to quit on us. So it's quit with two T's. Get it straight. He's going to be on the Battle of the Badges 2 card here in South Boston. We've got the very first donation for the plaque for Anthony Palermo, $300 from another boxing team member, Ray Murray, good friend of Anthony. So big shout out to Ray Murray, good guy. He's a pretty good boxer himself. Also went to Iraq. He's got pictures to prove it. And anyway, the Battle of the Badges event, April 24th, coming up soon. Adam Quitt's going to be on the card. I met him at the little press conference we had a couple weeks ago. And also we're going to try to get Tim Kayes on the phone. On duty tonight, from what I hear, but been shot, so he might be able to talk to us if it's not a full-on riot going on at the prison. Pretty sure he works in prison anyway, unless he's one of the cops or others. Fighting, but seems like it's going to be a real big event. I just got a big package from the Wounded Warrior Project too, in association with this Anthony Palermo Memorial deal, and they sent me a whole bunch of wristbands from the Wounded Warrior Project. So special thanks to them, and we're going to try to co-promote them as well. We are live tonight. We do have Adam on for sure. We might have Tim Kayes coming on, but we'll see. Anyway, that event's coming up soon. We just had this big boxing event this past weekend. I don't know if you saw it. Probably didn't. But Johnny Ruiz got his head kicked in.
So definitely being over in England, you know, with the time difference, I was online that day. You know, just always skirting around, trying to find different boxing things going on, and I forget how I stumbled upon it. Oh yeah, I stumbled upon I don't remember how, because I was on Facebook, and I have a friend on Facebook, Bragging Rights Corner, and he was doing a round by round update in his status, and it was like I got on there, it was like the fifth round, and he goes, and Ruiz was down again, and then he got hit with a rabbit punch. I was like, oh shit, Ruiz, I'm like down again. Then I came to find out he went down twice in the first. Then it was again in the fifth, and then I think it was again in the ninth before they stopped it. But from what I read, you know, hit him with, you know, a few illegal shots. I'm going to get more on the illegal shots from the big pay-per-view fight a little bit later. But he was just too fast, too young, too athletic, and, you know, Ruiz just couldn't keep pace with him, really.
Well, there were some punches that Ruiz threw that I was shocked that he didn't really, you know, seem to be affected by them. I mean, he was throwing some real good straight rights, but that was the problem, was either a jab or a straight right. He didn't really have much to add to that mix. And Hay had some real outside looping shots. And I'll tell you, though, Johnny Ruiz has a hell of a chin. I mean, to remain standing to the final wave off from the ref, I mean, he took some shots. I mean, he is more speedy than he is powerful, but still, he took some direct shots right to the face. And just didn't even seem to be wobbled by them, which really was the biggest thing that impressed me in the whole fight. But never really seemed to have Hay in trouble. I kind of caught it late, just like I did the other big fight of the weekend. Your boy, Bernard Hopkins, overwhelmed Roy Jones Jr. in what I was called a foul fest.
It was a foul fest. You know, I watched that fight. I had some people over. And the one thing is, and you've heard me talk about my one friend that he's like the biggest UFC fan out there. And he lives for UFC, so he's sitting there. And I thought my dad was going to punch him in the head. The fight hadn't even started yet. Michael Buffer's on. He goes, yeah, well, his brother Bruce announces for UFC. And Bruce is way better. Like, yeah, that's why Michael has been making millions with Let's Get Ready to Rumble for a quarter of a century now. Yeah, but I'm like, Joey, just shut up. So we're watching this fight, and he's, you know, of course, well, I don't like Clint. And I'm like, Joey, don't say another fucking word before you get slapped. And then my dad was raising the mighty right hand to put it inside the back of his head. But let's talk about the Hopkins fight, Rich. It actually inspired me. You know how when I get inspired, it's always dangerous. But I actually am working on another article now. I started jotting some points down today. Just imagine this, Rich. Just imagine this. Every year in June when they do the new class in the Hall of Fame, they generally always have kind of a main event guy. It's like the one year was the year, okay, Larry Holmes is going to the Hall of Fame, and he was like the main attraction. I mean, like, he was still living, but he was like the head guy. Another year, I'm just trying to remember some names that went in the past few years, but they always had kind of a main guy that was like the big honcho of every year. Now imagine this. Imagine if Bernard Hopkins and Roy Jones both retire after this fight. I mean, they'll be eligible for the Hall of Fame in the same year.
Okay? Bernard will never retire after that.
Just think for argument's sake, Rich. Say they both retire right now. They say, you know what? Bernard's like, I have nothing more to prove. I beat my rival. Roy's like, you know what? I have nothing left. Okay, let's both retire. 5 years from now, they're both eligible for the Hall of Fame. They're both obviously first ballot Hall of Famers. He goes in as the lead guy.
I didn't really like the whole idea of the whole fight. You know, this guy was too little too late. And it was so much didn't do anything for the sport. It just made a lot of
fun. And you're right, Rich, you're right. I was talking to the Iceman on Sunday.
Man, sure. Scully. Just don't forget.
Yeah. What? Man. Yeah, exactly. I won't. But I was talking to the Iceman, and he put something on Facebook about the fight, and he's like, yeah, you know, it wasn't that entertaining. And now, see, there are certain things about the fight I did enjoy. I'm going to get back to that in a minute. But when I said the Iceman, I said, you get certain fighters, their styles match. Ali Frazier, when they first fought and when they last fought, when they were in the primes of their careers and when they were both on the downside of their careers, always gave a great fight. Their styles match. Gotti and Ward, Castillo and Corrales. All fighters are there. Certain fighters just mesh. You know, they put on great fights. It's like impossible that they won't. Israel Vasquez and Rafael Marquez, great fight. Other fighters, not going to happen. Ali and Norton, all the fights were close, but they weren't very exciting fights. I said, Hopkins and Jones could have fought, 8 years ago, like when they first discussed having a rematch. It still wouldn't have been that good of a fight. It still would have been more tactical than a fight set.
That's the story.
What?
Hopkins is calling out David Hay now.
You know what? David Hay already shot that down. What? David Hay, because he basically said, what do I got to prove, you know? And the thing, even with Hopkins, is it wouldn't be that good of a fight. He would try to outmaneuver Hay. Hay would chase him. Hopkins would try to box him, foul him, rough him up. I would pick that fight. It would be sloppy. It would be ugly. Hay would chase. Hopkins would move and hold. And it would be Hay winning probably by unanimous decision.
Congratulations, Tony.
What?
You've won a $1,000 Walmart gift card.
I did?
You did. I just logged on to Bobby.
Well, that's kind of good.
Screaming knowledge, Tony.
That's kind of good because I buy dog food at Walmart. My dog eats a lot. So, yeah, send me my $1,000 so I can get him some food.
Walmart dog chow. All right. Let's see what we have for this week on Boxford. Nothing's jumping out at me. That's a problem. Ooh, here we go. Mismatch of the week. I knew that was coming first. We got to go to France again. France gives us a lot of mismatches. I want to talk to the boxing commissioner of France and they tell him there's a problem. All right, we had an 8-round heavyweight fight between Johan du Haupas Friday night in France. I'll tell you exactly where because I don't think anybody in France is listening. But du Haupas is fighting Alexander Selezins. Du Haupas is 21-1 with 13 knockouts. And Alexander Selezins is 4-8. Two knockouts. So he's got a pretty good chance of winning this game. And also, Rashid Jigitao is fighting a middleweight fight. He's 11-0. He's fighting a guy who's 3-6. How about his blow toss? So, there should be some interesting fights. Flying to France for. How about, let's see. We got to go to Slovenia. IBF welterweight title going down. 12-round welterweight fight between Jan Zvek, 28-1 with 16 knockouts, and Rodolfo Ezequiel Martinez, 36-3 with 13 knockouts, one draw. That sounds like the Princess Bride. My name is Rodolfo Ezequiel Martinez. London, United Kingdom, for another Overeem revisited. Oddly Harrison versus Michael Sprott going on tomorrow night. And
how many times have those two fought?
I don't know. That's a good question. At least once before. Check that out, Joey. You should know that, Mr. Man.
Well, I know they fought. That counts for something. How many other people would know that off the top of their head? Come on.
I knew. I've been putting it on my website all week.
Yeah, well, there you go.
All right. Michael Sprott. Just once. They fought back in 2007. For the EBU heavyweight title and the vacant BBC English heavyweight title. Sprott was down once in the first. And he won. Beat him first time. So now they're doing it again over in London. That's tomorrow night. Or I don't know, maybe that's tonight. Also on that card, a vacant EBU middleweight title is on the line between Darren Barker, 21-0 with 14 knockouts, and Afif Belgchamp, who's 19-4 with one draw and four knockouts. Let's see what else we got here.
Well, I know you're going to be excited to hear this, because you're going to get another one of my brilliant fight card recaps on probably Sunday. And I'm going to the fights tomorrow night in Philadelphia.
Oh, Tony's going to our fight card.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
What?
Fantastic.
Yeah, who do we got on this card? We got this I'm taking a look at it now. Who do we got? We got Coy Evans versus Marish Chul. Coy Evans, I've seen before. He's 7-0, one knockout, has a draw on there. Not a big puncher. He's fighting Maurice Chul, who's 11-10, with eight knockouts. Don't know much about him.
Then we got Derek Webster. What about Philadelphia Flyers on here? Oh, this guy's from Gladbach. He's 5-0 with 4 knockouts. Playing the guy 2-1. Now, the reason that my dad really wanted to go to this card, female fighter that I've seen fight a couple of times. She's tough. She's tall. She's got a good right hand, but the problem is for a girl being so tall, you know, with such long arms, she gets in too many slugfests. Her name's Olivia Fonseca, and I'm actually going to try to get her on the show. But my dad's now working with, like, a couple of her friends. So they were kept trying to get in. They're like, no, you got to get out of the fight card. So he's like, okay, we'll go. So she's 3-2 with 2 knockouts, 2 draws. I've covered a couple of her fights. You know, she, like I said, she's got talent. She just doesn't use her defense. I'm like, shit, they don't let me train her.
Wow. I'm going to put it that way.
Oh, seriously.
We might have spoke too soon in the mismatch of the week. France might be off the hook. We might have to reverse that. We got 2 candidates here. Two different South American locales. We're going to get to the real meat of the fights after this, but I just want to mention these. It's kind of funny. Speaking of names, too, for a loser type of guy, guaranteed to lose this fight, I think. We got a light middleweight fight in Uruguay. It's going on Saturday between Rafael Sosa Pintos, who is 35-5 with 14 knockouts. He's fighting Juan Carlos Leave It at the Alamo. 3-4. 3-4 versus 35-5. He does have 3 draws, though. 3-4-3. Juan Carlos Alamo. That's his name. And it's for the Uruguayan light middleweight title. But that's not the worst of it. We have to go to, Sao Paulo, Brazil. There are 2 fights on the card that are mismatches. We have Super Bantamweight 12-rounder between Giovanni Andrade, 61-12 with 50 knockouts, fighting Juan Carlos Cejas, who's 11-31 with 3 draws and only 1 knockout. Also, the co-main event, an 8-round middleweight fight between Mohamed Saeed, 33-9 with 1 draw and 24 knockouts, fighting Alessandro da Silva Nogueira, who's 6-8 with 1 draw. Sao Paulo, Brazil. Makes France look good. Alright, that's enough of that. That's like 3 mismatches of the week, I don't even know how that happens. All over the world. Anyway, we do have some big fights. Bigger fights to talk about. Evander Holyfield is fighting this weekend.
Yes, playing
France. Boxing Federation, which I think is based in Russia. No, I'm just kidding. World Boxing Federation heavyweight title. And Francois Botha is the title holder, apparently. And Evander is trying to take the title from him. But I don't know how that ranking system works. I don't know who Francois fought to get the title. But I call shenanigans.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, hey, but at least it's not a prestigious title like the Machismo title.
Well, hey, at least it's in Vegas. That's
true. Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes I thought that originally it was going to be like in South Africa or somewhere, wasn't it? Or somewhere, Sweden or somewhere.
Wherever the White Buffalo wanted to have it. Is that his nickname or is it someone else?
The White Buffalo?
That
that's a good name.
All right, well, Evander is 42-10, 27 knockouts. Botha is 47-4 with 28 knockouts. Evander has 2 draws. Botha has 3. I'm guessing Botha. I think his record better. But Evander Holyfield is going to have the crown on his side. You never know. We'll see. expect to see an American with a title, even if it is a flimsy one. Some room for Vader. The jury's still out. What do you think, Tony?
I think I'm not going to watch it. How's that? But, no, I mean, I liked Evander Holyfield. I always did. I mean, I followed him, you know, since he was Cruiserweight. And that's going back, you know, 25 years almost now. I mean, I remember watching his fights with Michael Doakes. I remember watching when he knocked out Buster Douglas. And then his fights with Riddick Bell and all that. And you know, and Fran Bertha is a tough guy. You know, he's never been a great fighter. You know, Lennox Lewis pretty much demolished him. But he beat Mike Tyson until Tyson, you know, rocked him over in right hand. But the thing is, he's also past his prime. So you're getting two guys here. You know, they're both tough guys. They're both competitive guys. It could be a good fight. I'd rather see Evander really step down and retire now. I know he's got about 84 kids that he's got to support, child support, and all that. About that. So, you know, I think it's really time for Evander to head out the top street. The man's only 47, almost 48 years old. And he doesn't have Hopkins' longevity. He's been in a lot of wars. You know, Hopkins has been, you know, a better defensive fighter throughout his career, never took the punishment Evander did. And so Evander's definitely a lot, you know, older mile-wise than Hopkins is. Both, you know, tough guy, never a great fighter. He's another guy, you know, it should be time for him to say, you know what, I've done my piece. I've had a piece of the heavyweight title. And just sit back and, you know, rest on his laurels. I mean, I don't want to see either guy get hurt. That's the thing.
Well, if you're going to put it that way, then we've already spent too much time about these two old fogies.
You've already what?
We've already spent too much time talking about these two old fogies anyway. Might as well move on. We have a big fight.
Well, you know what I do want to talk about, Rich? I do want to talk about a fight that has the potential to be very good this weekend, and that's Andre Berto and Carlos Quintana. I mean, you know, Berto's still the undefeated champion at welterweight. You know, he's still got a title. He never had that fight with Shane Mosley because of the earthquake in Haiti a few months ago. Quintana's a good fighter.
Guy that beat Paul Williams.
Yes, he is. He beat Paul Williams in the first fight, then Williams kind of came back and demolished him in the rematch. But Quintana's a slick guy. He's a tough guy. I mean, he you know, he gave Miguel Cotto trouble for a few rounds. And honestly, I think, you know, Berto's going to have a little bit too much speed for him. I think he was just caught Williams on the night Williams wasn't focusing. And speaking of Miguel Cotto, I heard he's got a new trainer. He's finally ditching the nutritionist-turned-trainer. And then he's going to a little bit more proven a trainer, and a guy named Emmanuel Stewart. Yeah, you didn't hear that, did you?
Oh, no. So there's two 12-rounders on that card on HBO. Andre Berto versus Quintana. And Celestino Caballero is going to be fighting Daudcino Jordan. He's 25-0 with 19 knockouts. Exactly the same record as Berto. And that's for the interim WBO World Featherweight title. So, that should be a good one, too, to watch. And let's see what else we have here. We got another good one. David Estrada versus Orlando Lora is going on in California for the, get this, vacant WBC FECOM box welterweight title.
Lora's got a lot of things. That's a good step up for him. You know, David Estrada's a tough guy. You know, he's got credentials. They call him the Destroyer, but I have a feeling this fight is going to be the Destroyed. You got a guy like Lora. He's what, like 20-something and 0, or 26-0, I think he is, with like 18 knockouts. Yeah, he's 26-0, 18 knockouts. He's got one draw in there, and that was early in his career. And Estrada, tough guy, 23-6, 14 knockouts. He's been stopped 3 times. You know, and it looks like, I mean, later in his career, I mean, he has a stoppage loss to Andre Berto a couple years ago, and then he lost 2 straight fights about 2 years ago. So, Yeah, I think we're going to have to go with the undefeated guy here.
Wow. Alrighty then.
I have spoken.
How about those for this week's major boxing events here? I'm looking at on BoxRec. Although, next Tuesday, April 13th, another old heavyweight is back in action. Worth mentioning here. Pretty interesting fight. Shannon Briggs, 48-5 with 42 knockouts and one draw, fighting Rafael Hadro, 28 with one draw and 14 knockouts. Looks like, though, he's lost five of his last six. Step up for Shannon or not.
Why is Briggs still fighting? I'd rather
just beat
Holyfield fight than him.
The other guy that just beat Roy Jones Jr., Danny Green, is also fighting cruiserweight, 28-3, fighting Manny Ciaka next Wednesday in Australia. Manny Ciaka, or Ciasa, I don't know how you pronounce that. Is that 22-6, 19 knockouts? Green is 28-3 with 25, and that's for the IBO cruiserweight title. Will Tomlinson is fighting Oscar Bravo. Lima Charlie. No, just Oscar. Yeah. Oscar Bravo is 13-0 with 8 knockouts. And he likes to play a lot of Call of Duty. Will Tomlinson is 11-0 with 10 knockouts. Wow, that's pretty good. It's a super featherweight. That's a 12-rounder for the vacant IBO Intercontinental Super Featherweight title. That's the longest title you're going to get out of me tonight. That's it. Interesting non-title fight. I don't know why the one above is a title fight and this one isn't, but 8-round welterweight fight between Naufel Ben Rabah, 28-3 with 15 knockouts, and Solomon Ebrahim, who's 20-2 with 10 knockouts. That should be a good fight. This is all in Australia, Perth, Australia, on Wednesday. That's it for the week of boxing. See, we got a big UFC event coming up on the 10th this weekend here, so we'll reserve that for later, depending on whether we have a long interview with Tim or at all. This Tim Gates is going to be in the middle of a whole lot of stuff going on. You know, this is law enforcement we're dealing with here, and he is on duty, so I don't know if we're going to get Tim for the full duration. But we can call Adam at any time here. He's waiting for us. Adam Quitt is one of the boxers who's going to be participating in the FDNY boxing team versus New England law enforcement.
So I assume he's from the New England team then, right?
Yes.
Okay.
He is a Jewish fighter. So we were talking last time when I saw him about Yuri Foreman's success, one of the most well-known Jewish fighters out there, welterweight right now. Or is he light welterweight? Yuri.
Yuri Foreman is a junior middleweight.
Yeah. Junior middleweight. What? I thought he was a welterweight. I'm wrong about these things all the time, though. All right. Adam on the phone. Adam, amateur boxer, Quitt. Don't forget it. Just gonna get him on here pretty soon. And I'm not sure who's fighting. He might know more than I do. I don't have a list of the combatants in front of me yet. Not privy to those sort of things. It could be.
Hello?
Adam.
Yes.
now?
Yeah, I can hear you, yeah.
All right. This is Rabble Rousing Rich here. And we got Tony the Tornado on the phone with us, too.
Yo.
How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
We've been kind of telling people about this event over the last few weeks, Battle of the Badges 2. It's for a good cause, for charity, and it's a good rivalry, FDNY versus New England law enforcement. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the whole thing?
Well, Billy Draft, who I fought 6 years ago in the semifinals of New England Golden Gloves, called me up and wanted to know if I wanted a rematch. And it was for a good cause, so I accepted the challenge, and that's how it got started. And Dennis Maurice gave me a call, and we made the match.
So, all right, so you fought this guy before?
I fought Billy 6 years ago in the New England Golden Gloves semifinals.
Wow, that sounds like a familiar story, doesn't it, Tony?
Yes, it does.
Except we almost fought. We didn't really fight. Tony and I were in the same college boxing circuit.
Oh, really?
We were at the same weight and everything, but circumstances intervened. I only had one semester of boxing, so we ended up, we both were in the same tournament, national tournament, but we didn't get through the same opponent. So
I'll tell you what the circumstances were. Circumstances are, we're both at 185 pounds, and I'm about 5'8"-ish. Rich, how tall are you?
5'9", 5'10", maybe, on a good day.
Okay. So I'm about 5'8"-ish. I drew a guy that was 6'7" in the first round.
Yeah.
And he ended up being a three-time national champ, so that kind of hurt my chances. And Rich got beat by a guy named Michael Jordan.
From West Point.
You still got beat by Michael Jordan.
Yes, I did. I'm not afraid to admit it. But anyway, back to you, Adam. How did you first get involved in boxing? What got you into it?
I got into it when I was a kid. I was about 15 years old, and went down to the gym, learned how to defend myself, and I just fell in love with it. I started off in Framingham Premium Civic League with the late Kennedy Clark, who was a world class pro, and that's I just fought the juniors, fought the juniors for him, and then got away from it when I went on to school, and then when I got out of school, when I went into service, I picked it up again, and then just been involved with it for about 15 to 16 years, so. Yeah.
What's your affiliation with the law enforcement?
I'm a firefighter in the town of Framingham.
Oh, all right.
And Billy's a cop in Boston.
So it's a reversal.
It's a police fire thing.
It's a police fire thing, but it's like a local instead of the FDNY.
Yeah.
So this is like a feature bout now. The rematch, part two. So you got like a picture of him on the wall? Are you training, getting ready to destroy this guy or what?
Oh no, well I'm ready. I tell you, I'm ready to go, and we're gonna put on a show. You know, so it's I've trained as hard as I've ever had for anything for this thing. So we're gonna get the crowd all, you know, trying to get.
Yeah, how did the first fight go?
Billy took it as so it was a split decision, and. Billy took the fight, and he won it handily. So I'm gonna give it my all on this one. Hopefully, turn the tide.
All right.
So.
Wow. It'll always be better if you knock him out. Then you can always say, "Well, my fight was better." But it's for charity, so we don't want to be hurting anybody. Although there will be plenty of EMTs, I think, in the place. Where people qualify. First responders will be everywhere.
Yeah. I just wanted to let you guys know I'm going to be I'm dedicating this fight to all the we had I was in the Marine Corps and we lost We lost a bunch of, we lost actually 14 Marines 10 years ago. Actually, the anniversary is today, April 8th of 2000. So I'm going to be dedicating the fight to those Marines that were killed 10 years ago. And I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to say that.
And, that's amazing. We're actually working on doing the coordination with the Palermo family in Brockton. And I knew a kid named Anthony Palermo who's on my boxing team. We got a web page going for him and everything. We just got a big donation from another guy on my boxing team for the plaque that we're doing for Anthony. And he was killed by IED 3 years ago on Tuesday.
Yes, I read about him. Yeah, that was, yep.
And, you know, it's kind of become a bigger thing. We're going to do like a whole tribute to the fallen as part of the event. And Bobby McGuire gave me some examples of some guys that were on the boxing team down there that were killed on 9/11. And one of his nephew was one of the guys that was killed on 9/11. So just an incredible story, and you know, just a great opportunity to recognize all those people in front of other servicemen. So I'm looking forward to being a part of that. And, you know, giving Anthony my tribute there, and also those guys. And actually, I've been trying to find some more local law enforcement people who have maybe a connection to boxing, or just anyone who recently died in the line of duty, to talk about the law enforcement aspect of it too. So I have the FDNY, I have the military. I'd like to have a couple law enforcement guys, but nobody can think of anybody. I'm sure I'll find somebody. But anyway.
Yep.
What's your weight now for this fight?
I'm 180 pounds.
Okay.
Yep.
And what was the weight that you guys initially fought at? Same weight? Or?
Well, yeah, 178, and they give you +2 in the Golden Gloves, so we're right around the same.
So you guys are staying in shape over there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Stay in shape. Stay in shape with wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have you seen him fight anytime recently?
No, I haven't seen Billy fight in a few years. So I know he trains real hard, and he'll be ready to rock and roll. He trains, you know, he's a Dorchester kid, and he's got great sparring out there, and he'll be ready to rock and roll. He comes to fight every time. So.
All right, that's where I grew up, in Dorchester.
Yeah.
Where it was said that you don't kick in a fight. Don't do it. Now, what have you heard about this event? This is your first time being involved. You weren't involved in the first one, were you?
No, I was not. No, I heard it was for you know, a good cause, and since I got involved with it, I read a little bit about what the cause was. I originally just thought it was for the Wounded Warriors Project.
Well, it is kind of now. I mean, it was the first time more so directly for them.
Yep.
They just actually sent me a bunch of stuff, so, you know, we are going to make them part of the event. We're going to mention them. They sent us a whole bunch of wristbands to give out. So, you know, it's still kind of along that vein. It's not officially Wounded Warrior this time, but the big one is the CRASH program. And basically, the way I like to explain it is, it's kind of like they bring in an episode of CSI to the classroom with accident reconstruction, and they take actual case files, so these are real cases, and, you know, they talk about not only drunken driving, but, you know, the big thing now is texting. People texting or using their cell phones when they're driving, and, you know, I'm sure they're going to use the most applicable cases every time. And, you know, show kids what happens when you're not you know, paying full attention to what you're doing. And it's a cause that's obviously, you know, very sensitive to civil service people, firemen and first responders like cops and EMTs and all those people who have to deal with car accidents. You know, it's great to have these kids not only learn something about the science behind all this and accident reconstruction and, you know, eventually maybe being in that field because of it, but it also helps these kids so that they get shocked into realizing, hey, this could happen to me, you know, if I'm not paying attention when I'm driving. So I think it's like a really smart program, designed well. It's a good concept behind it. really smart guy behind it, who does all the teaching of these classroom sessions. And I have a little experience myself in accident reconstruction, sort of, because I got picked to be an actor in the prom accident scene they did at my high school. My senior year, they had me be the drunk driver. So I got to be arrested in front of the whole school in the fake performance. So they had flipped over cars and everything. They had, like, the whole emergency management department involved. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I got interviewed by Joe Shortsleeve. You ever hear of him, Adam?
Yes, I have, yeah.
He's a news reporter. That was his real name, Joe Shortsleeve. But anyway, yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's going to be at the Boston Athletic Club. I know that there's going to be at least 7 to 10 fights, at last I heard, so maybe 11, for all we know. So there's definitely going to be a nice card. Do you know, as far as how many people in the family, do you have a lot of family and friends that are going to be there watching you as well?
Well, I know I know a bunch of my friends from the Premier Fire Department. They've always been real loyal to me, and some of the guys, they've never missed a fight in the 5 years I've been on the job. And so I know a bunch of them will be coming up, and that means everything to me. And there'll be some, you know, awesome family there, so it'll be a lot of fun. So be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
And what do you think? You think the firemen overall are going to do better than the cops, or?
Oh, I'll be honest with you, I don't know.
No idea.
I have no idea, because I've never seen any of the guys on the cat fight, so I really have. I'd just be blowing smoke if I made predictions. I have no idea about any of these guys, yeah. So it'll be interesting. I'm sure everybody will give their best.
Well, it's interesting to me. I mean, I know you can't wrestle or anything like that, but, you know, some of the guys that are doing it are prison guards.
Yeah. A couple of them work at the NTI right now.
I'm one of those guys in a fight. You know, people they deal with on a daily basis. Sometimes they have weapons or mace or whatever, but still, yeah, you're against a crazed inmate. He's got nothing to lose. That's ultimate practice right there. For anything. Tough to shock that guy. But anyway, what do you think, you know, being a fireman over the years has done to help your physique? I mean, does it keep you in shape just doing that all the time?
Does it keep you in shape training?
Yeah, I mean, have you always kept up the boxing too, or, you know?
I've always kept up throwing my hands and putting the gloves on with people, over the years. Even when I wasn't competing in boxing, I was always hitting the bag and working out. I do a lot of wrestling, and so that keeps me in great shape. I'm an assistant coach over at Algonquin Regional High School in Northboro, so I get to wrestle with a two-time New England finals, a one-time New England champ, Mike Wren. I get to wrestle him all the time.
Could there be a mixed martial arts in your future?
What's that?
Could there be a mixed martial arts career in your future?
I've dabbled in that a little bit. I've been in the cage a few times, and so I've gone, bounced around to everything. So it's been a good experience in the fight game. And,
it's actually, I mean, I wish more boxers would realize, you know, it's good conditioning training, too.
Yeah, I tell you, it's guys who train in mixed martial arts and then just went to boxing and have had a lot of success in recent years. It really, the conditioning for mixed martial arts, I think, is the greatest conditioning I've ever seen. And it's really just off the hook. And it really gets you ready for just about anything. So.
It's funny, I got invited to a card game last night and a fight broke out. we were all drinking and playing cards, and we took a break, And, you know, this kid decides to screw with me, you know, because I look pretty unassuming. I don't look like I can really throw down. So he's messing with me. Next thing you know, we're wrestling all over the place. And I ended up almost getting, like, a rear naked choke on the kid. And he bit me to get out of it instead of tapping out.
Was your name Mike
Tyson?
Another
kid comes after me, and I have to wrestle him now. I got him. I got a takedown on him. So... I had to be tested. My MMA, the MMA came out of me from just watching on TV. You know, I've never trained, but I watch enough of it. I know what to do, you know. And I've never, like, thrown the legs in when I wrestled. When I wrestled, I was 171. You know, there's really an opportunity to throw the legs in it that way, unless you're doing it a while. So I never do that, but, you know, whenever I wrestle now, because I've watched so much MMA, that's the first instinct I have is to get somebody's back and get the rear naked choke in, get the legs in, and that's it. You know, I see Kenny Florian do it so many times. It's a thing for me now. Anyway. Yeah, and in New England is a great area for fighters overall. I mean, it's funny, I met Mark DeLuca's father there.
Oh, yes, he's great. He's a great guy, yep.
And he's the one that really gave me my first official boxing lesson when I was a kid at the McKeon Post. So I saw him at the Ali Colombo event. And with Tony and I, a few months ago, last year maybe, we saw his name, Mark the Bazooka DeLuca, in the Ranger Bazooka? And we were, the Italian Bazooka DeLuca, right?
Yeah, I love that name. I got a friend of mine in Philadelphia, Mike DeLuca, and I always say, Mike, this is the greatest nickname ever for a guy with the same last name as you. I said, if you're related, get me an autograph.
Yeah. He's a cool guy. His father is a great coach. And, you know, they just had, like, a heavy bag down there. One heavy bag station when I used to box down there. And then they'd have, the ring was made of chairs. There's two rings. There's one for, like, the five-year-olds and then one for the kids, like, you know, preteen kids mostly. I was the oldest kid there when I started, like, when I was, like, 12. But it's a great program, and it's still alive today. They do it every Saturday, I think, just like it always has been. My uncles, you know, 40 and 50-year-old uncles have gone through the same program. They did it when they were kids in Dorchester, so.
Yeah, that's great.
Things. There's hidden gems out there. Still going. But, Adam, what are you most looking forward to about this whole fight?
Oh, I'm looking forward to just getting in there and giving my best and hopefully giving the crowd what they want to see. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, we're out there to perform, so that's that job. Give it, you know, not to run around in there, but to throw hands and give the crowd what they want to see. So, That's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, do you have any connections to Philadelphia? Because we need to get Tony to ask some questions here, so maybe we got to get you a Philadelphia angle to Tony.
Well, the one thing I was going to say was, you know, I mean, I honestly am regretting that I'm not going to be able to come up to this. I know Dennis invited me personally, but fortunately, Philadelphia to Brockton, kind of tough to do on a weekend, especially now that I'm at a new job, and the fact that I am the low man on the totem pole, they have me working next weekend, so I really didn't have a choice about that. But I don't know if Rich told you how he got involved with the Marciano Foundation and doing some things with Dennis and doing all that. So we always laugh about it. Last year, I was coming up to Boston. I was taking my dad to a Sox game because he always wanted to see Fenway. And Rich was going to meet me there, and we were going to have a good old time, have some beers. And so when we were doing that, I was like, well, I don't have anything to wear. I mean, I'm a Philadelphia guy. I'd look like an idiot wearing a Philly shirt to a game between the Red Sox and the Texas Rangers. I said, but you know what? I said, my whole family has been Rocky Marciano fans long, long, long before I was ever born. My great uncle was at the fight when he knocked out Walcott. My grandfather used to keep all the newspaper clippings. I still have them. So I said, I got to get a Marciano shirt. And looked online and found that nice black one with him knocking Walcott out. And I said, am I going to get that in 6 days? I made a call, and it was Dennis. We started talking fights and started talking about some great Marciano fights, and he's for a guy that was, you know, 32 years old, that I knew a little bit more than I should, you know, because obviously I didn't watch any of those fights live. And so we started talking, and I said, hey, Rich, first I said, Dennis, I said, well, we'd love to have, you know, you or anybody on our show sometime. And then you start talking about some of the stuff they did at the foundation. I said, well, my friend Rich is, like, right around the corner from you. I'm like, Rich, get your ass over there. And next thing you know, Rich is working on their website and helping promote events and helping do all that stuff. So it's pretty cool the way it turned out.
Yeah, it has been. And Dennis, you know, he throws stuff together pretty well. He knows what he's doing. He's done a lot of events. And it's kind of funny sometimes, but yeah, take the good with the bad. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he's no longer doing anything with the Marciano Foundation, but he's found, you know, a lot of good guys to work with. One guy who's really closely affiliated with the Red Sox is probably just as miserable as the rest of the Red Sox Nation watching the Yankees games the last 2 nights. It's not good for the FDNY versus New England law enforcement rivalry. Are you a baseball fan, Adam?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Probably watching that.
Red Sox. Oh, yeah. Big fan.
Yeah. I took my dad up there last year. He loved it. He had a great time. Got to meet Rich, who actually, Rich and I have been doing this. Rich, how long have we been doing this site together? Over 3 years now, hasn't it?
I started the .com in 2006.
Okay, and I think I joined you
when I was like,
I think I joined you in early 07, covering fights, and then we started doing the show together in 08. We figure I hadn't seen Rich in 11 years before last year. And we talk every week, obviously, doing the show, but I had not personally seen him in 11 years. Still told him, I said, you're lucky I didn't get you in the Nationals, Rich. But I would have had something for you. I would have brought it right from Philadelphia, too.
I never fought even Michael Jordan, because I never talked to Michael Jordan after I fought him. So, I can't tell him. I was saving him for a split, you know. Maybe those 10 years now. Although, I don't know. I mean, if I had been really going full bore, I don't know if I would have had the strategy to beat him. I just wasn't that type of fighter. He was more of an inside guy. I wasn't prepared for that. The only guy that fought like that on my team was much lighter than me, so he was easy to throw around, you know. Michael was, you know, pretty chiseled, so it wasn't very easy to stay on the outside against him. I just wanted to jab and take it easy, you know, because I knew I was going to fight this guy who was like, it was you that fought that guy first, Tony? Was that what you were talking about earlier, Sletten?
I caught him in the first round of the tournament.
Yeah, so Tony's got to get this guy first. He's like, this guy was like, literally, he could be in his little corner, and he could just about touch you on one step. He was tall for 185, like, really.
Yeah.
He had reach like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, he did.
He was like, he cut his leg off before the weigh-in. And I don't know how he made weight. He did. And he knocked out Jordan in the finals, who beat me. In like 30 seconds in the finals that year on ESPN. So I was
actually, Jordan took him to the third round.
Did he take him to the third round? He knocked him out.
Yeah. Oh, he knocked him out. He stopped him. See, Jordan was tough, but he was a guy, like I said, Rich, he controlled the pace against you.
Yeah.
When I fought him earlier in the year, I didn't let him control the pace, and I wore him out. That's what Sletten did. Sletten just charged him. Forced the pace upon Jordan, and he couldn't hang. And by the third round, he was done. I remember watching him because I was cheering for him. I wanted to cheer against the guy that had beaten me. And in fact, then two years in a row, Sletten beat Chuck Masaccio, you know, from my good friend. and he beat him actually pretty convincingly. See, Adam, you didn't know you were going to get into our old war stories, did you?
No, it's fun to listen to.
Well, you and Billy must have the same, rapport. I mean, do you guys talk about it over the years, like, the fight? Do you guys still maintain contact, or is it still like a grudge match?
Periodic. Once you swap spit with somebody, usually, you're pretty good buddies after, so. We've talked periodically over the years, but it's always been fun. We see each other at local events and stuff. It's always been fun. There's a real camaraderie in the fight game. It's really like none other, and there's a real bond there. And when the bell rings, it's war. But afterwards, you give each other a hug and you go out. Yeah, that's the way it is. So.
Right. Yeah, you leave it all in the ring.
Leave it all. Yeah, that's where it is. You leave it right all in there. So.
But looking forward to this event. What have you been doing? Have you had a fight recently? Is this the first fight in forever?
This is my first boxing match since 4 years actually. But I've had. I've had four cage fights in the meantime, and I've been wrestling in open tournaments for the last 3 years, so I'm staying active with competition. So I'm pretty. I think right now I'm as good a shape as I've ever been at 34 years old. So.
Billy, do you have any inside information about him?
Billy hasn't boxed in about 3 years competitively, but I know he stays sharp and he's got a lot of he's got Tyrone Smith, he's got Deshaun Paris, he's got some good local Tyrone Smith is a good local pro. He's got a lot of guys in the area to spar with. I know he's in the gym and I know he's banging and I know he's ready to rock and roll, so I know he stays sharp, so we should pick up right where we left off, guns blazing.
Cool.
So.
Well, is there anybody you want to thank or give a shout out to or anything like that?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to all the boys on the Framia Fire Department, and they want to thank them for supporting me through everything and coming out always supporting me, with the fights. Asian American Fighting Arts is school. My friend Dan, Paul, and Joe, we started up a couple of years ago, actually a year ago. It's a mixed martial arts conditioning school in Framingham. And that's been a huge thing for me. And the Connery brothers, Jackie and Pete, my buddy Tex, my buddy Johnny Zucanatos, and my trainer, Dave Sullivan, and all the boys at Algonquin Wrestling, I want to give a shout out to. So, I want to tell Mikey Wren, he beat me. He's a great New England champion from Algonquin. He beat me, kicked my rear end 2 days ago in at the gym wrestling. So I'm coming back for him after this thing.
Hey, you got side rivalries going on.
Oh yeah, you can't stop. You can't stop. You stop though. That's it.
Well, there's no gloves on the line this time, but it's bragging rights for sure.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Good way to do the reverse local rivalry. Boston versus Fire, because it exists. I mean, we went to the Florian Hall there, and across from there, there's the Federal Credit Union there for the firemen. And there was a woman working the desk there in the front, and she's like, oh, yeah, my family, it's all police officers. I'm the only one in the fire department. Well, it's associated with the fire department, so I get razzed all the time, she says. So it's the whole, the whole thing is a good idea, just to, highlight guys that, being in the service, whether it's military or, civil service, police, fire, whatever, you automatically get trained in that sort of stuff, whether it's wrestling or some sort of combat. I remember when I went through the Air Force Academy, we had pugil stick fighting and everything. We got it all. But, yeah. You know, it's always a good skill to have. You never know when you might need it.
Yeah.
You might have to fight the guy to take him out of a fire. You never know. You might call him like, no, he might have said it himself. Go down with it. But anyway, it's been great having you on, and we'll see you at the event, I'm sure. And we'll catch up with you later on. And we'll have a video camera on you there, and then I'll get a post-fight interview. Get you on the website. But great having you, and we'll definitely be rooting for you to reverse the curse, so to speak, I guess.
Thanks a lot, Rich.
All right.
Best of luck to you, Adam.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Tony.
All right, no problem. Have a great night.
All right, thank you. We'll see you guys.
See you later.
Yeah.
Yep, stay bye.
All right. So we're going to give Tim Case a shot. Tim Case is another, law enforcement guy. I don't know whether he's prison guard or police, but we're going to give him a try. No guarantees, I guess, on this one. But we'll see. I don't have too long to talk, maybe a few minutes, but we're going to try them anyway, because I think this is going to be the last show where we do much on the event. We've already done the Bobby McGuire side, we did the FDNY guys, so I think my big next focus is going to be on the actual last press conference, which will either be this week or next week, this coming week, or the week after, I mean. Let's see if we can get Tim Case on here. That's pretty interesting, though. They're going to get to relive the Golden Gloves.
Hey, this is Tim. Leave a message. I'll call you back.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press.
All right, well.
Yeah, you did say he was on patrol tonight, didn't you?
Yeah. So, I don't know whether he's a police officer or prison guard, but either or. Can't be too good to be have it broadcast that you're on duty. Probably not a good idea. But anyway, we'll let him do his business because you know it's important. Maybe we'll have another show. We'll have one later. But I know he's probably looking forward to his fight as much as Adam is. And we do have some MMA fights to talk about here. We've got another UFC event coming up, as if we didn't have enough in the last few weeks. I did see the Ultimate Fighter. I watched the Ultimate Fighter. I didn't see the fight night, another fight night I missed. But I saw the Ultimate Fighter show, and I saw the worst broken nose I've ever seen in my life.
Nice.
I don't know if you ever saw a broken nose like this in boxing. But the
you know what? I heard about it. This isn't the guy's like, nose is like almost in half or something ridiculous.
Oh, it was crazy. It was like there was a sideways V, like a greater than sign. There's no it should be in the middle of it. You know?
I did not see it, but I did hear about it.
Like, right cheek is greater than left cheek. That's what it was. And it was the fight between friends, too. Like, the guys knew each other, I think.
Yeah.
And the guy hit him. He goes, dude, your nose is fucked up. He said it to him. And then he finally fighting it out of that. But it was rough. There's some good candidates. I mean, I kind of like the thing now of fight your way into the house. Makes a good first episode. So they had a lot of fights on the first episode. Not too much reality TV. But it looks like from the highlights, you know, they do the montage to begin the show, and they kind of show a lot of clips from the season coming up, since they filmed most of it already, before we even see it. They have another broken door incident, of course. Can't beat that. Gotta have that drama involved. I think Chuck breaks a door, eventually. But the big news is this next event is going to be in Abu Dhabi. It's going to be kind of interesting because these people from the United Arab Emirates there just invested heavily in the UFC. And of course, we don't know the actual figure, but according to CNBC, it's maybe $1.3 billion the UFC is worth, maybe. Just make it up, as they said in their interview after the show. We talked about this before, I think, on a previous show. But basically, you know, there's a figure out there that the UFC is worth $1 billion. So these guys from Abu Dhabi came in, they're like a principal part of the government. You know, they have you know, major contracts and stuff. And they came in, they bought 10% of the UFC. So basically, somewhere over $100 million is what they obviously paid. You know, because whether it's actually worth $1 billion or not, you know, that's the value they got off of it. At least that. So now they're having this big event, probably the farthest from home the UFC has ever been, I would say. You know, I guess maybe Germany might be a little farther. But usually they have shows in the UK if they go anywhere out of the country. They do a lot of these shows in the UK, and from what I've heard, they lose money every time they go to the UK. And I don't know whether that's because they can't have pay-per-view. It seems like it's always on a free channel when they do it in the UK. But this one, I'm assuming it's got to be pay-per-view. It's in Abu Dhabi. You know, that's a lot of overhead. They're going to have to pay for it. But, you know, there's also the major deals that were done right after they made this deal with Abu Dhabi were related to television in the Middle East. So that was one of the reasons why they said they did the partnership, was to get these folks spread more along the airways out there in the Middle East and Far East and China and everything. The first deal was done with the Chinese station or network. So this is going to be a pretty big deal card. And, you know, we'll see if it catches fire over there in Abu Dhabi. And it's going to be at the Ferrari World Concert Arena. This company is heavily invested in Ferrari as well, the same company that bought it for the UFC, so that's interesting. The fight card itself, we have Anderson Silva, who is really the number one pound-for-pound guy in MMA right now. Almost, unarguably, you could say. But he's fighting Demian Maia, who is the number five middleweight. And nobody's really touched Anderson in a while. And pretty much every fight I've seen him in recently, he almost is so good he loses interest and, you know, just fools around when he's in there. Plays the air guitar in the middle of the freaking cage as he's kicking you in the face. He's that good. I mean, he's got some crazy reach, too. Then you also have the UFC Lightweight Championship between B.J. Penn and Frankie Edgar, who is a guy from New Jersey, hardcore wrestling background. And B.J. is just known for just well-roundedness. He's got boxing, he's got Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and he's got a share of wrestling as well. He's kind of been in the news more for his antics, though, with talking about GSP being greased and adjusting something to make him more slippery in the fight that he was contesting. Other than that, he's been really dominating. He's done really well. Matt Hughes is also on this card versus Enzo Gracie, which I'm picking Matt Hughes in this one, but you know, Enzo, anything could happen with the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu he's got. I just don't buy that he's got enough recent experience on that level. I mean, he's been teaching forever, but I haven't really seen him in competition in a long his brother, Rudy. It must be his brother, the other guy there, the other Gracie. I should know his name. I'm drawing a blank. Already fought many years. But anyway, Kendall Grove is also on the card versus Mark Munoz. Terry 18 versus Rafael Dos Anjos. John Gunderson versus Paul Taylor. Phil Davis versus Alexander Gustafsson. Rick Story versus Nick O'Shipshack. Brad Blackburn versus DeMarcus Johnson. Paul Kelly versus Matt Veach. And John Madsen versus Mustafa El Turk. Mustafa is not in the Lion King. He is in the MMA fighter. Alright, so also we have a couple things going on tonight. The Bellator Fighting Championships, number 11. It's going on down in Florida right now. Watch out! Watch out, combat show. Number 7. It's going on in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Tomorrow night we have showdown fights, Berkland versus Paul at the K Event Center in Orem, Utah. Pro Kumite having an event on Saturday in Croydon, England, at the Fairfield Halls. UFC at 112, obviously, we just talked about that card, called Invincible. Interesting. So they're trying to say this partnership is going to be invincible. Nobody's going to beat them. If you're in Brazil on Saturday, you can go to Super Pitbull Fight, which is not related to dog fighting. It wouldn't be on this website. Super Pitbull Fight. M1 Selection is going to be on, another one this weekend. Must be part of that whole deal that we talked about last week. And we got Rami on after the show. Figures, we got Rami on when the show was over. And we got him on a podcast, me and him, just doing it ourselves there, shooting from the hip. And it turns out he was from Philly, Tony. Philly guy. And he fought Hank.
Yeah, you were saying that. You were saying that, Rich. Did you get the article I sent you about that?
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, because when you said the name, now I'm thinking, okay, that's an Arabic name, you know, okay, they have a lot of common names, so I'm not thinking much of it. I'm like, but I remember that name, you know, from before. And then when you said, yeah, he's a Philly guy and he's around a lightweight, I'm like, well, shit, I know I saw him. So I jumped onto his fight record on BoxRec and I pulled it up and I corresponded with some of the fights that you know, that I attended. And, yeah, I covered, like, two of his fights. And one fight he fought Victor Vasquez, who was, you know, a tough Puerto Rican kid. He was trained for a while by a guy that used to train me, Jimmy Arthur. And I'm trying to remember the other guy that he fought. I think he was, like, 0-1-1 in the fights I'd seen him. Tough guy, a little bit of a dirty fighter, more of like a mauling, rough and tough kind of guy. You know, not the most stylish fighter out there, but I honestly, I mean, maybe he got lucky, maybe Hank wasn't feeling well, but talent-wise, no way, no way. And things are different in the amateurs. And maybe you get a standing eight count on the guy in the first round, or maybe the guy is dehydrated or something. But talent-wise, no, he couldn't be in the same ring with Lundy.
Well, anyway. Yeah, we actually have guests in the chat. Guests. We do have time now. If you would like to call in, we do have a call-in number.
I know. I sent it to a couple friends of mine tonight.
Boxing Rain Man, Tony the Tornado, any questions? You can call in.
Anybody got any questions? In fact, what I did tonight was, actually, I just did it a few minutes ago when we were, you know, on the air and you were going through some of the upcoming UFC fights. Well, I had another one of my brilliant ideas. The question that I had posed at the beginning of this show, I decided to post it on a boxing forum just to see what people are saying. Because I'm going to, you know, and here's what people piss me off. You know, when you ask a question, I don't want a one-word answer. If I ask you, so Rich, I know that you know from knowing me for 3 years now and doing this website and this show. If you ask me, okay, Tony, we've got a fight this weekend between Hopkins and Jones, who's going to win? And I say Hopkins, that's not an answer. That's just, you know, a 50-50 shot. I want elaboration. Like when I called the fight last week and I wrote the report for you, I said it was going to be Hopkins by unanimous decision, and I said why, how their styles meshed up or didn't mesh, how they and how, you know, Hopkins wouldn't go for the trigger and Jones was going to be more cautious. So I posed my question on there, if those two decide to retire and both go to the Hall of Fame in the same year, who gets the top billing? One guy says, and I wrote, like, here's I put both points out there. I said, you know, Jones had more title belts. He was the Olympic medalist. But Hopkins never really took a bad loss. And, you know, he had more longevity. So it's little things like that. I said, Jones was a better athletic fighter. Hopkins was a better old school fighter. So I want to know, who do you think should go top billing?
Look, I guess
I rate them the same. Well, you can't have equal billing. One guy's got to be voted, one guy's got to be announced last. One guy's got to be the main event. You can't rate them the same.
And then the other guy goes, I would personally prefer Jones.
Why? Elaborate. Tell me why you personally prefer him. What, do you have a crush on him? You think he's cute the way he raps? Like, you all must have forgot? No, I want to know why you personally prefer him. Honestly, Rich, who do you think I would prefer?
I love Bernard because he's from your hometown.
I would, but not because he's from my hometown. First of all, I got a couple reasons. Number one, Jones beat Vinny Paz. That automatically bumps him and knocks down. No, I'm just kidding there. But Jones was a fantastic talent.
Vinny
and, you know,
Paz. How is Vinny the dog dealing with the tragic news that Michael Vick might have to step up more and be more involved in the Philly quarterback game?
Vinny's not happy about it, I'll tell you that. I asked him that night. Let me get back to that minute before I lose my train of thought, you know, me and my ADHD. but back to Hopkins and Jones. I would say Hopkins, and not because, you know, I've obviously preferred him much longer than I've never been a big Roy Jones fan. I respect the guy's got all the talent in the world. But see, Jones is a guy, like, he was always, like, you know, he was real cautious out there, and, you know, he did a lot, well, both of them, they always did a lot of smack talk and everything, and okay, that's cool. But there was just one thing that never appeared to me about Jones was the fact that he never showed, like, he had a lot of respect for the sport of boxing. He respected it for himself and what he could accomplish, but not for, like, the sport of boxing. You know, he would do things where, like, if I'm training a fighter, who do I want them to model themselves after? And I'm not talking about the Hopkins of now, who's, like, you know, kind of a dirty fighter and, you know, kind of fights a lot of clinches and stuff. But the Hopkins of maybe 8 or 9 years ago when he was still in his prime, because he did everything right. Defense, you know, boxing, slugging, whatever he had to do, he would do. You know, he mastered the technique of boxing. Jones was a great athlete, so it never felt like he made a lot of mistakes that for years never caught up to him. When he finally met Tarver, they did. And then he met Glenn Johnson, they did again. So, okay, you have all the title belts Jones got, but look at him. Okay, he goes to heavyweight, he beats a hand-picked David Ruiz. He didn't fight one of the Klitschko's, he didn't fight Mike Tyson when they talked about it. He beat a guy that was hand-picked that he should be able to beat.
Speaking of Mike Tyson, I did mention this to you before we got on the call, I think. Mike Tyson is back in the rumor mill, and I do want to mention real quick before we get too deep into this, but the call-in number is 1-347-324-3228. So the number 1-347-324-3228. And I've never used this system before, so bear with me if we have technical difficulties. It's like I'm looking right at it, and it's got stacked callers, so I'll know when somebody calls in, and they'll just switch off. It has nothing to do with my phone. It's this whole system. So we're going by that, and we'll figure it out. But anyway, Mike Tyson is back in the news because Don King was in a recent interview. I forget with who, but I did read it from a reputable source. I know that. That Don King has been talking about, there's been reunion talks of Mike Tyson coming back to boxing with Don King. And I thought it would have been pretty impossible, but stranger things have happened. And maybe I'm wrong here, but it sounds like Don King will not officially rule out that Mike Tyson might come back to boxing. But apparently these rumors out there about the whole Holyfield versus boxing are definitely not true. Don King has said that in the same interview that he has not even called Evander about such a thing. And I don't know if they're on speaking terms, those two, even though Tyson and Evander obviously are now after the Oprah thing. We don't know.
Well, talking about Tyson and Don King, I said this a few weeks ago. I'm going to say it again. I'm not even going to paraphrase. I'm going to actually directly quote myself. Money talks and bullshit walks. And if,
yeah.
and if King offers, because you know what? I mean, as honestly, as far gone as Mike Tyson is, the man hasn't fought in 5 years, and it wasn't impressive the last few times he fought. He hasn't won a fight in about a good 6 or 7 years. So,
Where's Peter McNeely when you need him?
I don't even want to know where he is. He's up in your area, Medford. He's still up in Medford. God knows what he's doing. But Tyson's gonna need the money, and I don't know when they're gonna come out with the Hangover 2, and if he can get himself a role in that. But yeah, Tyson's gonna need the money, and Don King knows. You know what, the name Mike Tyson will sell, and there's going to be a lot of curious people that are going to say, you know what, I bet you if he gets in shape, and he gets a good trainer, I bet you he could still do something. No, he can't.
Green man of boxing, so you shouldn't know this, but can you be a boxer while you're on probation? Because I think he's on probation.
Sure he can. I mean, I'm sure there's been a lot of fighters that got out of prison that were still on probation or parole or... You know, God knows what else, and they still fought.
So he's not on boxing probation, is that what you're saying?
I don't think so. How could he be on boxing probation? He hasn't fought in 5 years.
I don't know. I'm just shooting from the hip. As always. But, I thought that was interesting. I saw it in the news, and figured I'd mention it. I had a chance to meet the world's strongest man. Last week.
Mark Henry?
I could have met him right at Fenway. Marius Puchnowski. And I don't know where they're going to find it. I guess it's going to be somewhere around here because they have the press conference around here. But looks like his first fight is going to be against the guy that Ray Mercer beat, of all people, in an MMA fight. Ray Mercer knocked out Tim Sylvia. 13 seconds.
I remember that.
We already talked about it on the show. And now the world's strongest man, Marius Puchnowski. I don't know whether he was a contender, winner, whatever, how many times he's appeared on the show, but if you watch the world's strongest man, you've seen him. Or if you watched enough of the world's strongest man, I should say.
Is that the one with the kegs and everything? And like?
He's like the shortest one on there that I've seen. He's like one of the shortest ones, let's say that. You know, there are a couple short guys, but.
Is that the one with the like cool cars and shit?
Yeah.
The
original ones that I first started seeing on TV was when they had the refrigerator carry. They don't do that anymore. But that was awesome. They would literally carry refrigerators. Now they do like the keg toss. They have to throw the keg over the barrier, and it's like 50 feet up in the air. So they've got all kinds of little events that they do. These guys are pretty jacked, of course. They don't all look like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger or anything. Some of them are real kind of chubby looking dudes, but they just got, you know, crazy strength. So it takes all different sizes, but this Puchnowski guy is really a cut guy. for his size, you know, real short and just stocky like you would believe. Just really jacked though. Got biceps bigger than Big Papa Pump's, I think. Which you've seen firsthand.
That's right. I'm telling you, Big Papa Pump was scared of me.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so that's that. Still have no callers. So I'm gonna go to the boxing news kill here. Front page of Box Rec, see what we got here, see if there's anything we're talking about. Well, the Mayweather versus Mosley fight's coming up, so that's of course news. People are talking about that.
You'll never believe who I'm about to rip.
I'll never believe what?
Who I am about to, you know, really rip into and really, you know, trash.
Uh-oh.
Take a guess. It's in a person in the field of boxing.
Mosley or Mayweather?
The person I'm about to rip is not a current fighter.
Not a current fighter? Oh, Roger.
Actually,
do that.
I was about to rip into Floyd Sr. As anybody that's ever listened to this show, ever, knows how much I personally despise that human being, and I use that term loosely. Not the despise part of it, but the human being part of it. Now, did you hear the last asinine thing that he said?
What?
He accused Mosley of ducking black fighters and fighting only Mexicans so he could look good.
Alrighty then.
Yeah, please don't ask me where he gets this into that demented, crack-induced brain of his. But here's the thing. Here, you take a look at a guy like, now if you go back and watch the 24/7 episode they did from a couple years ago when Mayweather was going to fight Ricky Hatton, and basically, and not as much Floyd Sr. because he wasn't on the episodes as much, but Roger, all you can hear was he's got bum, you know, you call him Ricky Hatton a bum. And the asinine part about it, and I've said this 1,000 times, if you beat a bum, what's it matter? You beat a bum. If you lose to a bum, you must really suck because you just got your ass kicked by a bum. You know? But that's the, you know, the rocket scientist mentality here.
News for you.
Here's the thing is, you know, here's Floyd Sr. Floyd Sr. is the guy that came out of nowhere and accused Manny Pacquiao of steroids.
I know.
Because, you know, did he have any proof for that? No.
Checked on that recently.
You know, so he accused Manny Pacquiao of steroids. Now he's accusing Shane Mosley of ducking black fighters. You know, he's just making himself look like an ass. I mean, he really is. And I don't know what else I can say about the guy that I haven't said 1,000 times already. I was on a forum tonight ripping him to shreds again. Because Roger and Floyd Sr. are both bad for boxing. Bad for boxing because a lot of people see them. And so you get some people that like talk trash, but they're funny about it and they're entertaining. Okay, that's kind of cool. You know, Bernard Hopkins would wear the executioner mask and do the throat slash. You know, people thought that was cool. You know, some people didn't like it, but most people thought that was cool. That would sell. You know, Roy Jones would, you know, rap about something. And, okay, stuff like that can be somewhat entertaining. You know, Oscar De La Hoya had a singing career. You know, other guys that did things, you know, to get themselves noticed. But these two guys, and I'm talking about the senior and Roger, what are they doing? They're bad for the sport of boxing because people look like that and they're like, boy, I wouldn't want my child watching this and emulating this person because this guy, both of them, I mean, have, you know, well, even though Floyd Sr. has spent time in prison. Roger might be spending time in prison for, you know, assaulting the female boxer that he was training. You know, Roger had been suspended for a year for training for a melee that he started in a fight. The man punched Lou Duva while he was an active boxer after the fight was over. He punched Lou right in the mouth. You know, these are guys that, if I was a father, I would not want my child watching him, or I would watch and say, that's what you don't want to be in life. You guys are not good trainers, and they're not good human beings. They're basically worthless.
Well, what's not worthless is the National Collegiate Boxing Association. And it's funny that we were talking about it because it's in the news too. The first time, would you believe, ever, I can't believe this is true, but the first time ever this year, it's going to be held at West Point, the national championships.
The championships are this weekend, aren't they?
Yes. Army is defending two titles, I guess. National championship pairs from 2008 and 2009. Wow. This weekend, Army is defending those titles while hosting the National Collegiate Boxing Association championships for the first time, marking the Academy's convergence of long-standing boxing tradition with competitive prowess. Now, that's writing right there.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect out of Lockhaven. They got a really young team this year. And not the fact that they just have a young team, but the fact that some of the guys on the team are very undisciplined. So, definitely a lot of work they need to do. And then, really, some of the younger guys really need to get more experience.
Now, here's an interesting story we talked about once before, a long time ago. Your boy Arturo Gatti is involved, where the New York State Athletic Commission supposedly failed to properly weigh Gatti before he fought Joey Gamache at Madison Square Garden in 2000.
I remember that.
And Gamache got sued. It was a career-ending knockout loss for him. And
you ever see it?
But no, I never did watch it.
I'll find it for you, man, because it's absolutely brutal.
Well, the judge said that the Athletic Commission failed to properly weigh Gatti, but that it didn't cause Gamache's career-ending knockout loss. Evidence shows a commission official let Gatti off the scale before it could be reasonably determined he made the 141-pound limit. It doesn't show Gatti was substantially heavier, Court of Claims Judge Melvin Schweitzer said in awarding no damages. So they found faults, but they gave no damages. That's kind of interesting.
Oh, wow.
HBO unofficially weighed Gatti at 160 pounds and Gamache at 145 pounds before the next night's fight.
Gamache, I see that.
A former two-time world champion, was pummeled by Gatti, who knocked him out in the second round. Gamache says he suffered brain damage in the fight and was hospitalized for days. He ended his career with a record of 55 wins and 4 losses. The commission official, Anthony Russo, said in a deposition he couldn't recall if he or the commissioner's chairman at the time, Mel Southard, conducted the weigh-in. Russo has since died. And the Athletic Commission, which oversees and regulates boxing and wrestling, said Thursday it was pleased with the judge's ruling and agreed that the issue of the weigh-in was not what caused the injuries Gamache suffered. So they're saying the weight had nothing to do with it, or not enough to do with it. One or the other, that's what they're saying. Poor Joey Gamache, nothing we can do for you. That's unfortunate, but, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of an interesting point. It's tough to beat. But, I mean, who do you blame? The guy didn't have enough defense, you could blame.
Well, I mean, the fact that you really have to watch the fight, if you really have to sit there and watch the fight, because, like, even, like, the one time, like, Gatti was literally punching through Gamache's defense. I mean, he was hurting him with shots that weren't even landing flush.
Right. 15 pounds, though, I mean.
And that's a lot.
In college, I mean, I'm sure they threw in with a guy who was 15 pounds heavier than every now and then. But it's sparring, you know. Different story.
There were times, you know, I fought, and I've sparred guys a lot bigger than me. Now, in college, with the headgear and all that, and, you know, with shorter fights, shorter rounds, yeah, I fought bigger guys. I mean, I fought, you know, Tim Scott, who outweighed me by, you know, 20-some pounds. Then you look at it a different thing. At those times, I was 100 to 185 pounds. That's the difference, you know, certainly when you get in the lighter weights,
And they're like, why are there, you know, weight limits, like, you know, weight class is every 3 pounds? Because that is a percentage size. You figure, you know, when it's like, you know, 15, 20 pounds and you're like heavyweights, not much of a difference. You're bigger guys. I, you know, I played football for a lot of years against much bigger opponents. So I maybe didn't win a lot of fights at heavyweight, but under the sparring sessions where I knocked some heavyweights out. Because, you know, I knew boxing better. But when you get on a world-class level and you're really stepping up and fighting somebody that significantly larger, and, yeah, and I know there was a situation with Gotti making the weight. He got on the scale, and before the, you know, the beam even, you know, broke, they were like, okay, 140, get off. And it was like, you know, I don't think any of Gamache's representatives were there, and if they were, they didn't even, you know, have a chance to protest it. And, Rich, I'm going to tell you, back at the New York Athletic Center, I fought there a couple times, and the one time I was fighting the guy from Air Force, and, you know, Air Force always had the reputation, they would always kind of try to dick you over a little bit. So I'm set to fight this guy, and the contracted weight was 175. Now, this is not a fight at the national level or the regional level. So a lot of times the coaches, you know, always give you, like, maybe 2 to 3 floater pounds. So it's like, you 175, if you get there, like, 176, 177, you're not going to bust the balls. But the guys from Air Force would. So I'm supposed to fight this guy from Air Force, and we get there, and the coach is like, you're supposed to, this is at 173. We're like, 173? No way. We said 175. I get on there, and I'm like, 175 and like 7/8. You know, not if it wasn't even a full pound. They're like, no, you have to go lose it. So there's me and another kid from Lock Haven running laps with trash bags on at the New York Athletic Club. Who was he fighting? A guy from Air Force too. So we were dicking us over. So finally we go down to make a weight again and the coaches from Air Force weren't even there. And Mike Martino, who was the NCBA president, was there conducting the weigh-in, and he was pissed off about it. He's like, this is fucking worthless. I get on the scale, and my second foot hadn't even touched yet. He's like, 174.8. Done. Get off. I'm like, okay. And he was pissed about it because it was not a national fight where you had to be at a certain weight. Like, when I had to get down to 165 for the regionals that year, and the one time I got on the scale, like 165.2, I had to lose that quarter pound. But, you know, when it's a show, it was really pointless because it was like, you know, no real reason for it. Yeah, I'm looking for the knockout right now. I'm going to send it to you.
My all-time record for weight loss was a pound and a half in 15 minutes.
Pound and a half in how long?
15 minutes.
That's not bad.
I did it in wrestling once for a tournament. I ended up doing really horribly as far as what I remember, but I made weight, and I got beat.
Yeah. All right, yeah, I just found the knockout for you. I'm going to send it to you right now, Rich.
But anyway, if you want to call in to talk to us. We do have a few more MMA stories to talk about, but if you want to chat and ask a question or say howdy doody or whatever, number is 347-324-3228. We got about another 17 minutes, 5 o'clock, I got in front of me here. I'm looking at here, Sure Dog has a couple interesting stories. The Ultimate Fighter, we didn't get to see in this week's episode, I didn't see the first week, but this week's episode, they're saying draws 1.5 million viewers this week. Second episode last night on Spike TV drew a 1.2 household rating for an average audience of 1.5 million viewers, according to a press release distributed by Spike TV today. This week's episode saw Australian Kyle Noakes submit Clayton McKinney with a first-round triangle choke, dropped in viewership from last week's season debut, delivered an overall 1.8 household rating and $1.9 million viewers. So this is actually worse than the last one. That's interesting. However, Spike TV noted that season Season 11's first two installments have seen a 12% gain compared to Season 9. So overall, the numbers are up. Like I said, there was the big broken nose incident. I'm sure that made it a good viral campaign. That gets spread around. Anyway, it says here, Season 10, which included former street fighting sensation Kevin Kimbo Slice Ferguson, remains the five-year series' strongest. Its debut shattered the network's previous ratings record for the show with a whopping 4.1 million viewers, and would go on to earn the series its best marks ever. So that was then, this is now. It's kind of an interesting show. You had a lot of tough guys there. I forget the guy's name, but there was, I think it was like Kyle Blanchard or something. Something Blanchard. Charles Blanchard. He's like a short, stocky, fat guy, but he throws down. Like, it's crazy. The first fight that I've seen was him. I caught the episode like right in the middle of it, the first one, and I seen him fight. And like, you wouldn't expect nothing out of this guy. You'd be like, oh, this guy's in really shape. He dismantles this guy. Just pounds him out within seconds. It's like, whoa, where'd that come from? Very deceiving looking guy. But it's an interesting series this time. You know, you got a pretty decent rivalry there with Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz. Both guys not coming off great performances. And this is really Chuck's last chance, you know? Doesn't make a good show here on the show and beat Tito. People are going to really be calling for him to retire. I was saying that he should retire if he couldn't beat Wanderlei Silva, you know, and then he won. So I shut him out. I don't know. A lot of people have been saying he should be done. It's just so many people have just been able to figure out his style and, you know, adapted faster than he has. He still seems to me like he hasn't done much different since he started. And his novelty was those outside looping punches. You know, and once people figure out how to get around that part of his game, you know, there really wasn't much that he ever had that I saw that, you know, he developed to an extreme. Like some of these other guys, like every part of their game is top-notch, you know. And Chuck pretty much, you know, was just wanted to see him slug on his feet, you know, throw elbows and punches. But now it's a different story, you know. We'll see if he's widened his game. You know, but he's working with a lot of kids where he has to, you know, observe different styles and, you know, teach kids stuff too. So I'm sure the whole Ultimate Fighter show experience will help him out. Get him back in the mood to fight anyway. And everybody likes to see Tito get smacked around. That's the Ultimate Fighter news for the week. That's the most UFC coverage you will ever see Fight News Unlimited do right there. One segment. What else do we have? UFC is looking to go to Afghanistan. Some more UFC news.
Why?
Sorry.
Are they going to do like the Lincoln Land thing and do like a free show for the troops?
Of course it's going to benefit the troops.
Yeah, but is it going to be a free show for the troops? Or is Dana White going to try to charge them?
Okay, here's the deal. UFC President Dana Mouthpiece White told GolfNews.com on Thursday that the promotion hopes to solidify an event in the war-torn region in 2 months' time. That show will be offered for free to U.S. troops, said White. We don't like war. No one does. We just want the fucking troops to come home safe. You know, it's an expletive, but I just want to. What he said, probably. I substituted. To come home safe. but these decisions are not in our hands, explained White. The UFC has always supported our men and women in the military, not just in America. We also support troops in Canada and other countries. I don't know, he didn't swear in there. I'm surprised. I thought I read expletive, but there's something else in the press. My apologies to Dana White. Didn't mean to misquote him. Sorry, I take that back. Numerous UFC fighters, including former champions Randy Couture and Rich Franklin, have visited U.S. troops stationed in Afghanistan and Iraq over the last few years through trips set up and funded by the promotion. Zuffa, the UFC's parent company, also makes regular donations of its products to the military and UFC events. And UFC events are usually broadcast live on the Armed Forces Network. White said the promotion is also discussing plans to hold another event upon an aircraft carrier, as long as there's not a mission accomplished sign in the background. Network. Through the Afghanistan event, though the Afghanistan event, which will be held on land, will take place first. So they're going to do a land event before they do an aircraft carrier event. Well, that would be some shit. A UFC fight on an aircraft carrier?
Well, remember,
just take off the rails instead of ropes. You go in the water, you're just done. Guys go off the side.
ESPN did a couple box matches on the an aircraft carrier up in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
So you're saying they're biting from boxing? Is that what you're saying?
Of course they are.
Well, they always do.
See, I remember that, it was the weekend I moved up here to Harleysville from where I lived before, and I was just setting my TV up. It was on ESPN, and there was a fight from the, was it the Intrepid, maybe? I don't remember. But the sad part about it was, the one fighter, it was a good fight, but the one fighter ended up getting, fatal injuries in the fight. Yeah, his name was Beethoven, composer, Beethoven, Scotland, and he was fighting the guy George Coley Jones, and Scotland passed away after he lost that fight in the 10th round, and it really, really messed Jones up bad enough that he was never the same.
Blog stock. We've got a lot of stuff here waiting to go on the blog. You're going to hear it before you see it. You get to read it.
You know what I was thinking about? I was watching a fight on YouTube, and I remember watching a fight one time, and the guy gets dropped. You know, he goes down, and he's trying to get up, and the referee counts 10, because he's still on his knees. And then he gets up, and he's bitching, and the referee's waving the fight off, and he's bitching at the referee, like, no, don't stop the fight. And the announcers are like, yeah, but when they count to 10, it's not like the referee is stopping the fight, you did not beat the count. There is no negotiation.
Here's some news. Hollywood shakeup in the Celebrity Boxing Federation. Here's the news. Now, originally there was some talk about John Gosselin, because he was friends with Lindsay Lohan's father, Michael Lohan, who has done the celebrity boxing before, even though technically he's a relative of a celebrity, and not really a celebrity himself, other than the fact that he's injected himself into his daughter's life. But besides the point, he's into the celebrity boxing, and it's been in the news that he's trying to get John Gosselin into it. And celebrity boxing is like a bastard child of real boxing, as we all know. It's like 1-minute rounds. But anyway, we get press releases from them. We have Rodney King on the show because he did it, so enough said. Anyway, now there's talk, for some reason all of a sudden, of former girlfriend of John Gosselin, Kate Major, who is Michael Lohan's fiance, and she's going to fight film star Gina Lynn at Celebrity Boxing 19.
Yeah, Damon Feldman's putting that together. I see his updates on Facebook all the time.
Yeah, and Kate Major is replacing another former female companion of John Gosselin, Haley Glassman, who was originally slated to fight Gina Lynn. So there you have it. You got female celebrity fighting around here. So kind of crazy. And, oh, here we go. At the May 7th Philadelphia bout. Maybe we can go to this, Tony. Brought to you by number1smoke.com. Kate Major will have Lohan in her corner as she boxes under the supervision of referee Michelle Bombshell McGee.
Oh,
you know who that is, right?
Oh, I know exactly who that is.
Jesse James's mistress.
You know what the thing is?
Kind of cheap. The Celebrity Boxing Federation to take advantage of her.
You know what? I looked at her. I don't find her attractive at all. I mean, girl with a tramp stamp or a little, like, butterfly on her, like, pelvis or something. That's kind of cute, or something on her ankle. But Jesus Christ, like, her? Oh, she's disgusting. I wouldn't even look at her.
But it's funny, you know, Tiger's mistresses, right? Tiger's mistresses have been all over the news. They've been on every talk show you've ever seen. Have you seen Michelle McGee anywhere?
Yeah, right.
They show, like, pictures of her, but I haven't seen a single interview. Nobody wants to talk to her. They're, like, horrified by her. You know, you go to that from a girl like Sandra Bullock. Come on.
Yeah, and Sandra Bullock. I mean, even though I get a 34, she is freaking hot.
Yeah.
And
get out of town. She did get out of town. That's what happened.
And how it is. She's going to pass these ramp, you know?
Yeah. Well.
I am sending you a hysterical video. It looks like it's a kickboxing fight. The guy goes to do like a running knee, but they don't have like it's not in an octagon, so I don't know what the hell it really is, but the knockout's funny.
Alrighty then.
I'm gonna watch it again.
Well, other than that, what we've already mentioned here. Just trying to see what else we got in the MMA news overall here. There's going to be a big event, Uriah Faber versus Jose Aldo coming up in World Extreme Contact Fighting, April 24th. Let's see what else is going on. Go Fight Live is going to have Evander Holyfield versus Francois Botha fight. In case you change your mind and would like to watch it, Tony.
Okay.
In case. GoFightLive.tv will have that for you. And you never know. We could have a new Federation champion. Oh, there's the Blog Talk Radio lady.
Warning.
You got 90 seconds left to call in. Tell us if you like the show. That's what you can tell us.
I'm going to tell my friends. You're supposed to call me in tonight, and they didn't do it. I wanted them to wish me a welcome back to live radio.
Well,
you got a minute and a half. That's about as long as Michael Spinks lasted against Mike Tyson. In that time, tornado, I'm logging out for the week. We'll talk to you again next week, and peace out.
All right. Adios, amigos, and until next week when we do it again live. We'll do it live! We should have that clip from the guy, the factor, Bill O'Reilly. You ever see that where he flips out on Inside Edition?
No.
Reporter? And he's like yelling at the cameraman, "We'll do it live!" I forgot I was going to have that. I'll have that for next week. I'll be on the
phone. Okay.
I'll be prepared like a Boy Scout. All right, that's it. 15 seconds left. Live
Later.
Number one in the Books, Blog Talk Radio. See you next week, folks.